1, 2, 3, 4.
Song Salad
with Shannon and Scott.
Welcome to Song Salad with Shannon and Scott.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together, we're
Speed 2.5.
Speed 2.5?
Yeah, are it's you not a little quite bit... speed 3 because I have a little more time today.
Oh, okay. So it's like speed on a horse-drawn carriage.
Yeah. Where so the worst that could happen is that you like accidentally go over a bump and tip out.
Yeah, you only have to go like 32 miles an hour at all times.
I feel like that would even be fast for a horse-drawn carriage.
How fast do horses run?
Well, I mean, not as fast when they're attached to a carriage.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's fair, I guess. Yeah, okay. So horses' galloping speed is 25 to 30 miles an hour.
Okay.
But if it's like horse top speed with carriage...
10 to 15 miles an hour.
Okay, okay. Yeah, 10 to 15 miles an hour.
All right, thanks for tuning in this week, everyone, to Horse Facts.
This has been the useless trivia section of Song Salad, which we seem to be getting more and more into every
week.
We
got that information so quickly. That was
great.
We
really did, though. I'm surprised at how readily Googleable it was.
I know. You remember having to look things up in an encyclopedia? I do. Hashtag old, am I right?
I, like, kind of barely do, though. Like, I remember...
No, I actually do.
I remember going to the library and, like, doing research for papers and stuff, but, like, I don't know how
because we had to cite actual encyclopedias as sources because our teachers didn't trust the internet when I was growing up.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. So, like, that I definitely do remember is, like, well, you better find it in a real book rather than the internet.
Right.
But I also remember, like,
newfangled crap. Doing,
yeah. But do you also remember, like, the like... existential ambiguity of just like walking into a library and being like, I have to find a book that is about the thing that I want to write about.
Yes.
And like, how do I get it? And then in all the pages of the book, how do I find the part that I want?
Like, life took so much time.
It really did. It really did. thank God we didn't have to do college without the internet. I would not.
Oh my God. Can you imagine?
I would not have survived. No.
We couldn't have done theater and drank.
No, I know. All the time would have been spent in the library. Though I did, like, most of my papers, to be fair, were about, like, how I felt about things. So.
Yeah.
It wasn't too
bad.
Yeah,
you picked a good major there.
I did. I really did. Anyway, what's a song salad? What are we doing here?
Well, we used our stellar Carnegie Mellon educations to create this podcast where we take a random genre of music from moodfuse.com, combine it with a random article from Wikipedia, and give you a crunchy salad song.
Indeed. And we do that with the help of our listeners who submit salad spinner suggestions. And so whenever we get our random topic and random genre, we spin the salad spinner and we make a fun noise. And this week, our
this
salad
week.
Spinner...
I'm excited about this one.
Okay.
So at Steven Xcore says, salad spinner. Ray Romano, in character from Everybody Loves Raymond, asking Deborah what the genre/topic is. Basically, just do what I'm sure are your very good Ray Romano impressions.
This is excellent. So there are two sort of like paths of salad spinners that I really love. And like one is just like straight up sound effects that like people ask us to do. And the other is like something that's like a little bit meta about like whatever the salad spinner is. And like this is like perfect. And as you know, all of our impressions have been spot on thus far
well,
in this
people
podcast
just,
history.
We got to give the people what they want.
Yes, exactly. So do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
Why don't you go first?
All right. All right. Oh, God. Okay. Just right off my head, right off the top of my head.
Ray Romano asking what the genre is.
Deborah! What's the genre, Deborah?
Ray, are you choking?
Terrible.
Are you okay?
Deborah!
Ray, do you need the Heimlich? Ray, the genre is Madchester.
What's Manchester? Oh, it got damn it, it went to Julia Child again. What's Manchester?
I love Julia Child when she's a special guest for us, giving us new salad recipes.
God, tell me what we're going to do with Manchester.
Well, Madchester, spelled M-A-D-C-H-E-S-T-E-R, is a music and cultural scene. Was Julia Child just scooped up by a giant bird? Is that what just happened?
No, she's just really interested in Madchester.
It's a musical and cultural scene that developed in the Manchester area of the United Kingdom in the late 1980s, in which artists merged alternative rock with acid house culture and other sources, including psychedelia and 1960s pop.
Fun.
The label was popularized by the British music press in the early 1990s and included groups such as Happy Mondays, the Stone Roses, the Inspiral Carpets, Northside, 808 State, James, and the Charlatans, amongst others. The genre of Madchester was influenced by the rave scene and especially drugs like ecstasy or MDMA.
Great.
At that time, there was a nightclub called the Hacienda, co-owned by members of a band called New Order, and it was a major catalyst for the distinctive musical ethos in the city that was called the Second Summer of Love. What does that mean?
Well, like, so Summer of Love was, like, 1960s, right? And, like, all the hippie culture and that. So I guess this is, like, Summer of Love Part 2 or whatever.
Yeah.
So there's this part of the Wikipedia article that is simply entitled, in quotation marks, the word baggy, which is interesting. And it apparently refers to a certain sound. So it's, like, disco bands that are mixing disco bass lines and wah-wah guitar with what they're calling quote-unquote indie jingle jangle.
Okay.
And specifically the group the Inspiral Carpets added the sound of the Farfisa organ. Is that something you know what that is? Farfisa organ?
It's a very common 1960s sound organ, like a very mellow kind of organ sound that's not necessarily like a driving, like hard rock kind of organ sound.
Huh, okay. Yeah. So then this sound, like this kind of like a sound overall, not like one single sound, became known as baggy and generally includes a combination of funk, psychedelia, guitar, rock, and house music. And in the Manchester context, this music can be seen as mainly influenced by the indie music that had dominated the scene during the 1980s and absorbing influences coming from Hacienda, that club that you mentioned, or the venue that you mentioned. And then alongside this, what gave the baggy sound its name were baggy jeans, alongside brightly colored or tie-dye casual tops, general 60s style became fashionable in Manchester at that time again, and then throughout the country.
So like, and then like, Junko jeans with a Hawaii or the tie-dye shirt,
I guess so. And then it also says it was frequently topped off with a fishing hat in the style sported by Stone Roses drummer Rennie. The overall look was part rave, part retro, part hippie, part football casual. Okay.
Football casual.
I can perfectly imagine this. Okay. Picture, and you exactly know what I'm talking about. Picture a skinny white guy in like the late 80s who's wearing very baggy jeans, a soccer jersey.
Sure.
Has like dyed spiky hair, a fishing hat, and is wearing like strappy sandals, like Tevas or something.
And also like aviator style glasses, but not sunglasses, just like glasses.
Yes. Glasses. Yes. And a puka shell necklace or something.
Right.
I'm getting a picture of this.
Well, put that picture of your dad down, Shannon, and let's keep talking.
My dad dressed like this would be hilarious. So there was this whole like other like little cultural thing building up alongside Manchester, known as baggy.
Cool. That's fun. I was just reading a little bit more about how the Manchester scene emerged. And in the late 80s, in the UK. Duran Duran was like very popular. It was that kind of sound that was kind of dominating the airwaves at that time. So this was kind of pulling out of that commercialized sound and going back to something more indie and more kind of punk and grassroots. And that the influence of Ecstasy is pretty important, I guess, especially in this Hacienda club. So there's a quote here that says,
How much Ecstasy have you taken today, Boo?
Not enough. Ecstasy use changed clubs forever. A night at the Hacienda went from being a great night out to an intense, life-changing experience. So the going to this club and hearing this new, exciting music and taking Ecstasy really changed the way people were thinking about music at that time. Looking through popular bands to try to find a good example here.
Yeah, I'm interested in what this all sounds like putting together. It's like one of my favorite things about doing this show is that we talk about the genre first, and oftentimes I have absolutely no earthly clue what it really sounds like. And so I have this sort of like picture or like sound in my head, and then when we play an example song, I'm like, oh, that's not what I thought at all.
Right. So our example song this week is Weirdo by The Charlatans, which reached number one on the Modern Rock Tracks chart for the week of May 23rd, 1992.
So we're like, it's almost May 23rd.
True. Happy anniversary. Most of the time you are happy, you're a widow. And before the introduction ends, some will feel it sorry for themselves. Look at your ugly shame. What are you talking for? Look at your ugly shame. Should we get our topic?
Yeah, let's get our topic, which means that you have to do a Ray Romano impression.
Okay. I mean, I don't know how different it's going to be from yours. That's the problem.
Well, at least we're consistent.
Sure. All right, here we go.
Yeah.
Deborah, what's a Wikipedia? I write for sports.
I write for sports.
Wasn't
yes,
this character like a sports journalist?
He was a sports writer, yes. I write for sports. That is how sports journalists describe their jobs.
Sports, mm-hmm. Deborah, sport. Oh, my brother's so tall.
You're not bad at that. How does that
I'm
make you
Julia
feel?
Charles. Julia, get out of here.
Wait, should we do the rest of the podcast as Julia Child talking to Ray Romano?
And then Kermit the Frog can make guest appearances. Every article's random in my crazy life. I'm Ray Romano.
God, we have to stop. Oh.
I know. What? What? What?
Four cardinal principles. Okay. The four cardinal principles, which in Chinese are written in some way that I cannot pronounce, stated by Deng Xiaoping in 1979.
Deng Xiaoping? Back at it again with the white bands.
Deng Xiaoping! In 1979.
Deborah,
and are the four issues.
It's Deng Xiaoping.
That got a little like JFK there for a second.
I was thinking it was more like Nixon. It's like, Deborah, I'm not a crook.
Yeah, maybe that. Deng Xiaoping, I'm not a crook.
Anyway.
Okay, I'm going to tell you what these things are.
Yes, tell me.
They are the four issues for which debate was not allowed within the People's Republic of China.
Whoa.
Yeah, they are the principle of upholding the socialist path, the principle of upholding the people's democratic dictatorship, the principle of upholding the leadership of the Communist Party of China, and the principle of upholding Mao Zedong thought and Marxism-Leninism.
Huh.
The four cardinal principles marked a relaxation of control over ideology.
That's not where I thought that was going.
Me either. In stating the four cardinal principles, the implication was that these four topics could not be questioned, but political ideas other than those in the list could be debated.
I guess that makes
sense. Moreover, I mean, I guess so, but it's
well,
also like, that's crazy.
If you're in a you know, a communist republic, you probably assume you can't talk about anything political. And this is saying, no, you can talk about things that are political except these very broad topics.
Yeah, just not these things. Moreover, the principles themselves are not subject to debate. The interpretations of those principles are. There has, for example, been extensive debate over the meaning of socialism. On the other hand, the principles were proclaimed as a sign of adherence to the communist ideology, thus paving the secure way to reevaluation of the Cultural Revolution, while preserving ideological stability and legitimacy of the Communist Party of China as a response to the Democracy Wall movement. So okay. I think that's pretty interesting.
So this was 1979 that these principles were stated, and I wonder how long they were in effect.
I mean, I don't know that they are no longer.
I don't know.
Let me see. Look what I can find.
Oh, so I found the actual text of these cardinal principles.
Oh.
Comrades, this forum on the principles for the party's theoretical work has been in session for some time. The Central Committee
has asked me
to set forth a few views on the subject. The present situation and our task. However, this meeting is being held in accordance with the decision of the third plenary session. Sports.
Okay, sorry. You can go back to...
No, I just read an elaboration on the principle, we must keep to the socialist road.
Uh-huh.
Some people are now openly saying that socialism is inferior to capitalism. We must demolish this contention.
Whoa. All right.
That's it. What were you going to say?
So in 2000, I found an article on a website called China Media Project.
Mm-hmm.
It's a project of the Journalism and Media Studies Center at the University of Hong Kong, and it was published in 2007, and it asked if the four basic principles are going to continue to be upheld by the 17th National Congress. And so I guess these things are like still kind of like kicking around.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, like people like still are talking about this, and it still seems like it is influencing policy and is something that people cite as reasons why they are like proposing policy or opposing policy.
Huh.
Interesting.
I found a section here that says, in the recent period, a small number of persons have provoked incidents in some places. They have raised such sensational slogans as oppose hunger and give us human rights, inciting people to hold demonstrations and deliberately trying to get foreigners to give worldwide publicity to their words and deeds. There's a so-called China Human Rights Group, which has gone so far as to put up big character posters requesting the President of the United States to show concern for human rights in China. Can we permit such an open call for intervention in China's internal affairs? There is also a so-called Thaw Society, which has issued a declaration openly opposing the dictatorship of the proletariat on the ground that it divides mankind. Can we tolerate this kind of freedom of speech, which flagrantly contravenes the principles of our own constitution?
Whoa.
Keep the people down.
This whole paragraph is such a mind fuck because... But like, seriously, like, it like, from a Western perspective, the sentence, can we tolerate this kind of freedom of speech,
right,
like, doesn't make sense to your brain, you know? And, like, also the fact that they're talking about, they have raised such sensational slogans such as oppose hunger and give us human rights.
Yeah, I know.
Which has, like, sensational. First of all, sensational. Second of all, makes no mention of whether or not of a priority to those things in any way.
No.
It just says, you know, can we tolerate the idea that there are people who are asking for intervention in our internal affairs, not what can we do to prevent people from going hungry and give them human rights?
Right.
It's bonkers. It's bonkers.
Communism, man.
Yeah. Goodness. Dictatorship of the... this is also the first time I've heard the phrase dictatorship of the proletariat.
Yeah, they mentioned that a couple times in there.
Yeah, it's interesting. Wow. Okay. So this plus Madchester, huh?
Right. I just went back to the Madchester article to sort of try to connect the dots here.
Okay. I'm going to look up some like lyrical. I'm going to try to find if there were lyrical themes or like things that a lot of Manchester bands seem to concern themselves with, but we'll see.
So this is kind of cool because we've done a Britpop episode in the past, and I'm trying to remember what our episode title was that was the Britpop one.
It was it Eyes Like Grapefruit?
That sounds right. Eyes Like Grapefruit, episode number 48 was our Britpop episode, and that was where we talked about the bands like Oasis and Blur, Pulp and Suede.
All the one word noun things.
Right. So the end of Madchester was the beginning of Britpop.
Right. I found an article on a website that we have cited before, All Music, that says that Madchester largely began fading because the Stone Roses and the Happy Mondays fell prey to, quote, laziness and drug abuse, respectively. I don't think I've ever seen laziness cited as a reason that a band failed.
Well, if your heart's not in it. The Hacienda nightclub also closed in 1997, which contributed to the decline of Madchester, because that was sort of the center of the emergence of different Madchester bands. And one of the reasons that it closed was organized crime. There were a lot of violent incidents at the Hacienda, and the Greater Manchester Police helped close the club in 1997. And I guess there was a pretty bad turn towards organized crime in Manchester in general at that time. So not so much fun there.
Not so great, huh?
No.
Okay, I'm trying to find anything about themes in lyrics or anything, and I'm not finding anything that's super clear, but it does say that there were kind of two approaches to Madchester, and one was very poppy. It was like updated poppy 60s songs. And then the other approach was this kind of more collage-y type thing where they would like actually sample 60s things and then make them a little bit more like darker and house-y.
And musically, it sounds like I'm just going to go with a sort of indie rock band structure, but then add in that wah guitar and some farfisa organ to it. And then vocally, it's very much that kind of like lazy singing, loose British accent kind of vibe, similar to how we did Eyes Like Grapefruit, but actually a little bit less pronounced than that even.
Oh boy.
So you said it was the Happy Mondays that were lazy?
Yes.
It also says that they flew to Barbados to record an album in 1992 and discovered crack cocaine and went, quote, crack crazy.
Oh God.
So maybe that contributed to their laziness too.
Yeah, I guess so. So I was reading lyrics primarily by Stone Roses and Happy Mondays, just because it seems like those two bands are kind of like the ciphers for the rest of the genre in certain ways. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so I don't really see them as having 60s pop lyrics themes. At least these two bands like don't seem to be doing like poppy upbeat love songs or anything like that. But they do all seem to have in common that direct address you that we've sometimes talked about. I think we talked about it most recently in our
post-grunge.
Yes. Yeah. So, but like there's definitely like the songs tend to be addressing someone who is referred to as you. And in a lot of them, it seems like the you is a romantic interest. So I guess they're sort of, they're not really love songs though, but they are addressing another person. Secondly, a lot of them are pretty psychedelic and surreal. So like a lot of like weird images and metaphors and references and like strange things like kind of being put together. Okay, as an example, let's take the lyrics to Angel by the Happy Mondays. Just a couple choice lyrics out of this one. It's not who I sought, the novice, it's the novice. Who sought me? Cook went blind and drank too much. The Shanghai Lily, what's a cluckin' chicken? What's a cluckin' chicken? Need, where's the cluckin' chicken? Where's the cluckin' chicken been?
Are you sure these aren't just like someone guessing what they were saying because the accent's so hard to understand?
I don't think so. Buttercup, what a crucifixion, what a crucifixion mean. I was bitten by a horse now. I'm moving for divorce.
Well, that's fitting for our horse facts episode.
Yes, it is. There's also
Speed 2.5, in which Ray Romano tries to stay on a horse-drawn carriage without falling off.
Da brah! Da brah, the horses!
There's I've also noticed, in addition to like kind of psychedelic lyrics, there are a lot of drug references, as might be expected with like acid and ecstasy and cocaine and crack and all the things that we've already mentioned. Mm-hmm. And then there are also some like really sexually explicit lyrics to some of these. So like,
okay,
there's one by the Happy Mondays, and the song is called Bob's Your Uncle.
Okay.
And it's about like the it starts off with the lyric, what do you want to hear when we're making love? And then ends up and like, which seems like, oh, maybe it's like sort of romantic. But like, let me assure you that it's not really. It seems like maybe it's about an orgy, because we get to the lyric, why don't you do it to me? 4 in a bed, 3 giving head, 1 getting wet.
Whoa.
Blah, blah, blah. So,
whoa,
that's a lot. So that's another thing I noticed. And the last thing, that was kind of it. So those, it seems like they're like very direct address and confessional. They're kind of nonsensical and psychedelic. And there are drug references.
That makes sense. Yeah. Cool. I have one very important thing to talk about before we get to your lyrics. Okay. I want to tell you about a man named Bez.
Okay.
B-E-Z.
All right.
So his real name is Mark Berry, but he is known by his stage name of Bez. He was a member of the band The Happy Mondays, but he was not a singer. He didn't play an instrument. He danced.
What?
All he did in the band was dance. In the background.
Whoa.
He did also play maracas every once in a while. And on his Wikipedia page, under like, you know, it says his birth name and born, this date, genres he was involved in, and then instruments, maracas. So Bez is chiefly remembered for his bizarre style of dancing and his use of maracas. He wrote a book about his experience in both the band The Happy Mondays and a band called Black Grape. The book is called Freaky Dancin'. He, in the opening chapter, described an incident that happened to him at the Hacienda nightclub in 1986. In the middle of performing a set, and by that I mean dancing, with The Happy Mondays, he fell off the stage and cut his forehead. And in the book, he writes, the doc tells me to take it easy and put my feet up. I thought, I'm not fucking having that. I got some of the lead guitarist's acid, dripped it in the cut, and ran back out with me shakers. Fucking Raz.
What? What?
He lost all his money, went bankrupt, and appeared on Celebrity Big Brother in 2005 in order to pay off his outstanding bills. He was voted as the winner of the series and used the money to improve the engine of the London black cab that he used as his car on the television show Pimp My Ride UK.
Oh my God.
After the cab was pimped, it had 20 speakers, 8 amps, 2 DVD players, 15 TV screens, and a camera on the grill linked to one of the screens. And the sign on the top that used to say taxi was changed to pimp.
No.
He went bankrupt again in 2008.
Cool.
And was convicted of physical assault on his girlfriend in 2010.
Oh, no.
So that's Bez. I just wanted to talk about him a little bit.
So how would you describe this domestic abuser's style of dance?
People called it freaky and bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
And if you watch the Happy Mondays music video for Kinky Afro, you'll see him dancing in the background. And it sort of looks like he's just high on ecstasy and flailing his arms.
Seems right. Okay.
So, but he is a iconic part of the baggy movement and the Madchester movement.
So, I have lyric.
Dabra, she has lyric.
I've got the lyric. The delicious, like, fluffy lyrics. And it kind of turned into, inadvertently, a propaganda song. which
China
feels,
makes sense.
Yeah, which feels kind of appropriate. And basically, it's just like a little like introduction to the four pillars and like saying like, yeah, like let's follow the four pillars. So
cool.
And I tried to make it like the four pillars are like not just like it's like a local and a global thing. It's like it's good for everyone everywhere. So it's just a little verse and then a chorus. So cool. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, the corners of our world and the corner store. The pillars you can't question. Yeah, you know the score. The proletariats who we're rooting for. And then the chorus, just follow the path. Dictatorship's gotta last. Let MZT be your guide and you'll stay on the right side of the leadership of the CPC.
Wow.
Yeah. So just follow the path is the socialist path. Dictatorship's gotta last is the people's proletariat dictatorship. Let MZT be your guide is Mao Zedong thought, which is like the political principle. And you'll be on the right side of the leadership of the CPC, which is the Communist Party of China. Yes. So that gets all the pillars in there. So those are my lyrics.
Very fun propaganda.
Right?
And the sound that I'm going for is I am using a major key and it's psychedelic, but a little bit. A little bit uplifting, a little bit happy, I guess.
Cool.
And I'm using a lot of like tremolo and echo and reverb on the guitar sound. I'm using an organ, like a 60s style organ, and then kind of processed, distorted sounding bass and drums to give it that indie feel. So
cool.
And then vocally, I'm going to barely pronounce the words that you wrote correctly in
right.
sort of a British accent.
Cool, and, okay.
Everything that I listened to was just single solo voice, no background vocals, no harmonies, so I'm just going to
sing it. Yeah, I noticed that. Okay, yeah. Great. What should our title be?
Well, if you look at titles of other Madchester songs,
yeah,
they don't necessarily have something to do with the lyrics.
No, Bob's Your
Every once in a while
Bob's
it'll be
Uncle.
The chorus.
Yeah, like Bob's Your Uncle is the title of a whole song about an orgy. So
yeah, we could go with like a Britishism like that, or we could just go with Just Follow the Path, or
I feel like let's go back to the like actual uphold the four cardinal principles, like the actual text of that.
Okay,
and maybe pull something from there.
Upholding,
demolish capitalism.
It's a little on the nose.
Yeah, yeah. Mao Zedong thought has been the banner of the Chinese Revolution. Banner of the Chinese Revolution is good.
It makes me think of carrying the banner from Newsies.
Yeah, yeah.
We could call it carrying the banner, parentheses, of the Chinese Revolution.
That's fun. I kind of like that. Why not?
Sure. We'll get those Newsies fans to click on it.
Yeah, I like that. Carrying the banner, parentheses, of the Chinese Revolution.
A Madchester song.
By Shannon and Scott.
1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah.
The corners of our world and the corner store. The pillars you can't question, yeah, you know the score. The proletariat's who we're rooting for. Just follow the path. Dictatorship's gonna last. Let MCT be a guide and you'll stay on the right side of the leadership of the CPC. Yeah. Carrying the banner of the Chinese Revolution. 1, 2, 3.
What do you think about that?
It's very successful.
It's a very successful song, I think.
Really good job. You just say great job, boo.
Deborah.
It's a very Ray Romano heavy episode we've got going on.
I was just imagining if there were a British knockoff of Everybody Loves Raymond with like a super thick like Liverpool accent Ray Romano.
Oh my god.
Deborah. Deborah.
Sports.
Sports, Deborah. I'm going right about a football. Deborah. Oh, my mother who lives next door keeps nagging me. Deborah.
My brother's so tall.
He's taller than Big Ben, is he? I don't want to talk about the song. I don't care about this episode anymore. I just want to do British Ray Romano.
Oh, my God.
Poor blind, I'm turning into my father. Anyway. Yeah, I thought the song was good.
Yeah, I thought you did a really good job. And you sounded convincingly lazy.
Either lazy or on drugs. No one can tell.
Yeah.
And we got the organ there.
Yeah, definitely got the organ. It sounded super baggy.
Yes, very baggy. I had a man dancing behind me the whole time playing maracas.
Yeah, I could tell. It was your ghost. It was the ghost that lives in your
the
apartment.
The ghost of Bez.
Yeah.
Who is still alive.
So this was Speed 3, Horse-Drawn Carriage.
Speed 2.5,
right. Sorry. Speed 2.5, Horse-Drawn Carriage edition with Ray Romano, Julia Child.
This episode had it all.
And it really did. And a whole bunch of talk about the Communist Party of China.
Seems like that was the least important aspect of this entire episode.
Yeah, probably should have been a little bit more important. Maybe should have dug into that a little bit more.
Meh.
But
we got the point across.
Yes, exactly.
Fascinating subject. Go watch Everybody Loves Raymond.
This whole episode has been sponsored by Everybody Loves Raymond, which is just running in syndication and is no longer on the air. So I don't know why they're advertising for it. But we'll take their advertising dollars, no problem.
That's all we can get.
Yeah. If you are in San Diego, go see Scott at Jimmy Buffett's musical, Escape to Margaritaville.
We announced yesterday we were extended through July 9th. Get your tickets now.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
The whole run was sold out up to that point. So
that's crazy.
People love their Buffett.
Good job. People do love their Buffett. You can find more episodes by subscribing on iTunes or Stitcher or Google Play or by listening on SoundCloud. And you can follow us on Facebook or on Twitter at Song Salad Cast.
Thank you to our new listeners. I think a lot of people were discovering us recently, and we appreciate you letting us know where you found us and what episodes you like.
Yeah, that's really fun. It's really fun to see like when people hit something in the back catalog and they're like, what? That was crazy. And it's like, I don't even remember that, but I guess we did it.
Yep.
We have a new review.
We do. Do tell.
It's a 5-star review by Mesozoic Mind. Oh, Mesozoic Mind.
Good.
So I was like, that's a word that I know. I can say it. So thank you, Mesozoic Mind, for your 5-star review. And let's do like a little pull quote from the review. Mesozoic Mind says, I look forward to Mondays now because I know there will always be a song salad on my weekly menu.
That's fun.
Yeah, thank you, Mesozoic Mind. And if you give us a review on iTunes, we will also give you a shout out on the podcast. So thanks so much. If you follow us on Twitter, let us know who you are so we can thank you on Twitter as well.
We need to talk about one more thing.
What's what thing?
Shannon, do you get the Mesozoic Mind reference?
I feel like it's a song lyric.
It is a song title. It is from the movie Dinosaurs, A Fun-Filled Trip Back in Time. And it is the song that starts the movie. The band Charmer is animated as dinosaurs singing the song Mesozoic Mind. Do you remember this?
Maybe.
It was like animated and claymation, and it starred Fred Savage, and it was all about dinosaurs.
Oh, wait. But it was like also live action, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fred Savage was live action, and then he like learned stories about dinosaurs and was talking about them, and then those stories became animated and claymated.
Hold on. Maybe I don't remember this.
I'm going to send you the music video for Mesozoic Mind.
Okay.
Because this is very important. And whoever wrote this review is my new favorite person in the world. Thank you, Mesozoic Mind, for brightening my day with that.
Anyway, follow us on Twitter. It'd be great. Share us with your friends. And if everybody shares us with one friend, then we double our listeners. So
that's how a pyramid scheme works. Yay.
Yay!
Until next week.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together,
we're Dabra. Cockles and muscles, Dabra. Gobs your uncle.
Cockles and muscles?
I don't know. It just felt British.
Goodbye.
Pull me a pint, Dabra. I'm a dinosaur.
Pull me apart.
Pour me a pint.
Oh.
1, 2, 3.
Fish and chips. Fish and chips, Dabra.
Now I'm just going into like a Yas Valley Girl kind of thing. Like, fish and chops, Dabra. Mesozoic.
I'm gonna funk science.
Oh, how can anybody study with all that noise? Turn off that music and go to bed.
Give me your Mesozoic mind. A Mesozoic mind.
Time instead, through yesterday and history and unrecorded time, 100 million years flew by to Mesozoic times.
Mesozoic.
I looked around and there I found that everything had changed. The earth full of animals, they all were very strange. The dinosaurs were everywhere, and every shape and size. They walked the plains and mountains, they even filled the skies. Give me a Mesozoic mind, bring me away from all mankind. You can keep your Cenozoic, but I'll think that Mesozoic.
Do my report on dinosaurs. It'll be great. They'll go crazy over it. I'm saved.